want to pray for you today. I want to pray for you today that your children and your grandchildren think you have lost your mind. I want to pray that and say, my grandma lost her mind. She's talking about God all the time. She's so happy all the time. They got problems with them. Why are they so happy? And Dad, what's wrong with you? What got into you? You're nicer today than you ever were. You're loving on me different. And you're just, oh, you're crazy for God. And something happened. Maybe I want to find out what's going on. Amen? We got to open the door. So I'm going to pray that for you, that you lose your mind today. For the Lord, for you get to doing things today that you never thought possible for the Lord. And you can start talking to God. George Marshall, you're middle of the woods this week. I want you to talk to God. And God's saying, well, wait a minute, what's going on? Who's that? Oh, that's George. How you doing, George? Don't be praying for the biggest deer in the woods. Just thank God for the person on your left there. I mean, my God, your happiness just shines in this. See, God brings happiness. He does. He brings us together. Amen. Even in times of despair. Last night, and I thank you all for your prayers. My brother went to be with Jesus yesterday. And now, listen, that's a celebration. We've been doing, how many times, David, we've been doing celebrations? I can't stand here and weep. I'm sad. But I can't stand here and say, oh, woe is me, because I'm up here telling you about salvation and celebration. But I just want to, you know, and I didn't see this. My wife saw it in a different way. We were at a dinner club last night. Not a country western club, a dinner club where we play all sorts of music. We get requests from everything, and folks are coming up and asking us. And this woman come up, and she asked for a song, and I lost my breath. And I looked at her, and I said, are you kidding? She asked for a song, the only song, the 10 million songs ever recorded. And she said, you guys sing For All I Am. Now, that means anything to you, except that was the song my brother Petey sang all the time. That was his number one hit of all the time. That was his song. As bad as he could sing it, I love you, Petey. It just, he sang that. He'd come to the concerts, and I get up, and my older brother Johnny sang that song all the time. And I'm standing here in the restaurant. I would have expected Into God and Davida before Frolic. And I looked at her, and I said, are you kidding me? And of course, I tried to sing it, and I couldn't. I didn't even start the words. I just played it as an instrumental. And she said to me last night, she said, do you realize what God did for you? Do you realize what your brother did? Sent somebody there last night saying, hey, I'm okay.
Everything you said was right, Larry.
So, I mean, God will, and Mark Bush is the greatest example. Whatever he sees God in it. Amen. And I failed to see that last night. I didn't see it that way until other folks beside my wife confirmed that and said, look, God just brought that woman in this place and asked you for the one song in a million that would touch you like that. And I just know that he was saying, hey, I'm okay. And I believe that. But sometimes you need that little extra push, you know. And so I want to thank God for that. And okay, I had the extra push. That wasn't enough. Just go the extra mile. Y'all sing with my bride this morning. We're going to sing Amazing Grace.
Oh, That beautiful song that she plays is just to get you off the world and in and get you calmed down and listen. Sometimes some of her songs, like the Beethoven stuff, is awesome. And but every time she plays, I always say, bring us into church, because I want you to understand, to just get ready to receive the word of God and get ready for joy, get ready for peace, get ready for strength. How many want more strength? Come on. Yeah, I want you to have it. But if I told you, here's a meal, I want you to eat it, but if you didn't eat it, how good would the meal be? Amen? If I had your favorite dish right here and you didn't take of it, how much would you have enjoyed of it? Are you with me? With God is saying the same thing. I've got a meal prepared for you, each and every one of you. How much you gather, how much is up to you? Amen? So let go and let God today. Let's celebrate together. Let's stand up and pray, church. Stand up and pray the prayer that Jesus gave us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever and ever. Amen. Hallelujah. That's our God. That's your God. Hallelujah. It's good. Amen. I want you to be on fire more. I want you to understand there's power. Last week we talked about winning a victory. Amen. Winning a victory without fighting. We've got to learn what that means. We've got to take that by the reins. We've got to say, God bless you, to more people. We've got to stand up and say, no, that's not right. And we let them see the numbers and the fight will be over. Amen. If we stand up as Christians, and they will see that it's not worth fighting, because they won't win. And you know what? Everybody gets blessed. That's the God that we serve. Are you with me? We're not taking something from them. If they just listen, everybody gets blessed. Everybody gets in the reward. Everybody gets under the blessing. Amen? Because we're following Him. Let's read together. I will bless the Lord at all times. Praise God. You want to be right in the Word of God? You want to be right? I will bless the Lord at all. How many times? His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Hallelujah. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together. Thank you, Lord. They looked to Him and were radiant, and their faces were not ashamed. The angel of the Lord encamps around all those who fear Him and delivers them. Hallelujah. That's our God. That's your God. This is why you come to church. I pray that every church was preaching Jesus. Not rules and regulations. Not with all kinds of pomp and circumstance. But getting right to it. So when you leave, you got God in here. Amen? This is where your strength comes. And this is where the church's strength comes. Are you with me? Praise God. Peace that surpasses understanding. I stand here today with peace in my heart and comfort in my heart, knowing that my brother is with my other brother and my mom and my dad, and knowing, because that's what I believe. And my sadness is in the missing, but it's not, because each of our trips are all going to be there. Each of our steps will soon follow there. Amen. But what we do here matters. What we do now matters. The testimony of God, He's saying, I will fight the battle for you. And He's saying, we have to stand. He will fight the battle. But if we don't stand, what battle can He fight? Amen? He can't do it. How many remember the old joke? Have you heard it so many times? Oh, Lord, let me win the lottery. Let me win the lottery. Let me. And God finally said, could you at least buy a ticket? That's what He's saying to us. Oh, they're taking God out of church, out of school. He's saying, because you're letting Him. Oh, Lord, they're taking Christmas out of the store. He says, because you're letting them. They're taking God. They don't want anything on the green about Jesus and Christmas. He says, because you're just simply letting them. You don't have to fight them. But if we all stood up and said, enough. We love everybody, and don't let them define who and what a Christian is. And please don't let denominations get in the way, because we're all serving God. Amen? Miss Cindy, you go to a beautiful church. My mama took me to St. Mary's. That's holy ground to me, because those people gave their life for God. The priest and the nuns and the bishops, they gave their life to serve Him. Amen? If some of them fail, well, let me tell you, a lot of pastors fail. Amen? Deacons fail. A lot of people on TV are failing. Amen? It doesn't matter how many fail. It's the ones that are talking about Jesus and making you leave there saying, I need to go back and get fed again. Amen? remove the pomp and circumstance and get into the word. Jesus said not to build church schools. He didn't say build huge buildings. He simply said, Dale, preach the word. That's why this church is becoming on fire. And let me tell you, this is just the beginning. I know that we, David, and I know Chuck and Marilyn, we see a big change and we're all excited, but God is saying, I've just begun. This is nothing when we got to walk in faith. The testimony is God saying, I will fight the battle for you, but you need to stand and say enough, whatever it takes. And I'm praying, trust me, I'm praying about this. I'm praying about asking five pastors to have a seminar, get together with the pastors in the churches and say, look, we're not going to steal other buddies people, because other churches reach people we can't. Amen. There's a Spanish church up there. He's reaching people we can't reach. I tell James, our Indian warrior, he can reach people I can't reach. I want five pastors to get a seminar, come together and say, look, we need to talk more. We need to stand up more. We need to show the world, just like it did when I read last week about Sheba. She was a proud woman, a queen. She was a queen and proud and sure of herself. And she walked and she saw what God did for Solomon. She saw the things that God blessed Solomon and how the people with Solomon, how they were blessed. The cupbearers, everybody who worked for Solomon were happy and blessed. And her spirit left her. She had no more fight. Her pride was gone. She had nothing to be prideful about because she saw God. Amen? She saw God at work. And I read it to you about Red Cloud, that brave Indian chief, that guy who was powerful. When he saw what he was up against, he saw too much. Not one arrow, not one bullet had to be fired after that. Amen? Because he saw too much. If these stores and departments and all these things that you guys can do and whatever God leads you, if we all said, you know what? You have a right not to say Merry Christmas. I have a right to go somewhere else that does. Trust me, that's just saying, that's just showing them, that's standing up. And then God can say, they can say, look, maybe we ought to start bringing our Christian brothers back in instead of throwing them out. There's a football coach, how many have seen that? Suspended. Because after the game, the kids all went on the 50-yard line with him and prayed. Now, when something goes wrong, the president goes out there and says, we need to pray about this. Something goes wrong, the governor says, we need to pray. Then I say, why? Pray to who? You won't let people pray. You won't let anybody talk about God. But when the catastrophe comes, you need to pray. I'm wondering who they're praying to. Amen? We need just to say stop. If every football game, if the whole crowd stood up after the first quarter and just said, amen, amen. If all the Christians just did that, just sang that song for 15 seconds, that's all they'd have to do. People would stop. If they did it at baseball games, after the fifth inning, they just said, amen, 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 and just stop. But if they all stood up, if all us Christians stood up, the people would say, whoa, what's that? We're not insulting anybody. We're not doing anything to anybody. We're just praising our God for a minute. We're asking for prayer for the players. You see, he will act, just like the Bible said, once we stand up. Once we stand up, you don't fight. We don't need to fight with atheists. They're not going to change their mind. I can't get one Red Sox guy to change his mind and root for the Yankees. Can't do it. So if somebody doesn't root, somebody doesn't believe in God, I can't change their mind. I say, okay, I'll pray for you. But there's so many people waiting for us to stand up, amen, and not fight, but stand up and let God do the battle. That's his testimony. That's what he wants for you. And that's what happens in this church. You look around and say, what's bringing people to this church? So we're preaching his word, and every week we're feeding you something that you want to tell other people about. And other people are coming, and they're staying. Amen? They're staying, and they're bringing other people. And that's how a church grows. That's the way Paul did it. That's the way Peter did it. The way James did it. And that's the way we're doing it here. Amen? So that's his testimony. So, Lord, we're going to stand up for you more. We're going to take the reins. We're not going to fight. We don't need to fight. We don't need a slogan. We just need to stand up and let be counted. Whether it be at the football games, like I was saying, or baseball games, or wherever we are, just stand up and just start. Everybody, a Christian, just sing for 10 seconds. It will be heard. It will be seen. It will be noticed that, hey, what? They're not supposed to do that. Say, why? And God will have our back. God will have your back in your home, in your job. He will have your back. He will have it. Have that faith, trust. Let him lift up situations you never thought were possible to be lifted up. Let him change things in your life. But you have to let him. You have to let him. And the more you let him, the more you'll want him to lead you. That's his testimony. That's our God. We don't judge anybody because we don't have time. We fall short. We don't judge. We ask. We pray. And we lift up. We have tolerance for it. We love people. That's the compassion. That's who we are as Christians. We can no longer let other people who don't know who we are define what we are. And God will have our back. That's our God. In Jesus' name, I pray that you fight and you stand up for him and let him work for us. In Jesus' name, I pray. How pure is that? Amen. Hear our prayer, O Lord. Deacon Chuck, thank you. You see these trays here? I want to, by the time we're done with it, you'll understand what we're doing here. Amen. You'll understand, and I guarantee you, you're going to be excited because this church, right, Gene, is becoming a faith church by our works. Amen. We're the second congregational church who loves God, but we're showing our faith by our works. Are you with me? Hallelujah. Elisha had become sick. Elisha was a prophet. Yeah, I hope you know who he was. And absolute beautiful. Became sick with the illness which would he would die. Then Joash, the king of Israel, the who? Came down to him and wept over his face and said, "Oh, my father, the chariots of Israel and their horsemen." That's what Elijah called Elisha. He worshipped him. Now understand this. Elisha was a prophet. Amen. But he was not over the king's business. Amen. Understand, he was a prophet, but the king was still the king. But to the king, he was everything. He trusted everything that Elisha told him, he followed. Are you with me? The king was still the ruler. It was still his kingdom. But when he had trouble, he turned to God's man. Amen. He turned to God's prophet. And Elisha said to him, "Take a bow and some arrows." So he took himself a bow and some arrows. Then he said to the king of Israel, "Put your hand on the bow." So he put his hand on it. And Elisha put his hand on the king's hand. And he said, "Open the east window." And he opened it. Then Elisha said, "Shoot." And he shot. And he said, "The arrow of the Lord's deliverance and the arrow of deliverance from Syria. For you must strike the Syrians at Aphek until you have destroyed them." Then he said, "Take the arrows." So he took them. And he said to the king of Israel, who did he say it to? He said, "Strike the ground." So he struck three times and stopped. And the man of God was angry with him and said, "You should have struck five or six times. Then you would have struck Syria till you had destroyed it. But now you will strike Syria only three times." He didn't have enough faith. The king didn't have enough faith to get the full benefit of God. Amen. He said, if you had more faith and you would have struck that ground five or six times, you would have destroyed the entire Syria, the pokes coming against us, our enemy. You would have destroyed. But because you didn't have enough faith in God, you didn't get the full benefit of what God could do, Miss Pat. He didn't. He got pulled back a little. He got a little scared. He got a little nervous. Well, maybe I'm going to be too aggressive. We can't be too aggressive with faith. Amen. We can't be with God. Are you with me? We must learn to trust God completely. Hallelujah. We must to completely lean on him and to do everything we can to be in the line of his word. Amen. You hear a lot of things about people. We need to be in the line of his word. This is his house. Can I get it? Amen. But we are building altars and houses wherever we go. Fred, when you go to work, you're building an altar there. Listen to this. This one line. Your prayers are always with him. Can I get an amen? He doesn't forget what you prayed for. They're always with him. So we need always find a place of remembrance wherever you go. Wherever you go, you must find a little at your home, maybe Chuck in your shop. Wherever you go, that you find a little place of remembrance. Say, "Oh yeah, I remember God. I remember what I've been praying for." And you have that, and that's where you start. You start to build your faith. Say, "I'm praying for great things because my God said He can do all things." Amen. So wherever you go, you have that place of remembrance, so you feel confident. Whatever, be it your work, whatever your school, anybody going to school, whatever you're searching for, your place of confidence becomes stronger. And all these other places, maybe it's in your car. Maybe that's where your altar could be. Oh, I get in the car. Oh, I remember God. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Your prayers are always with him. You should write that down. You should have that on your refrigerator. Your prayers are always with him. He does not forget. We need to do all we can to remove things in our life that cause us pain and worry, unnecessary pain. Walking in faith, listen to me, brothers, this is for us. Walking in faith for all of us is a powerful path that not only makes you stronger, but draws others to you, Dale. Amen? Your faith draws others to you. Remember this. Now, I want you to vision this with me. Would y'all kind of, don't close your eyes because I don't want you to go to sleep, but I want you to vision this with me. You're walking in faith. Amen? Now, God's looking down and he sees this. He sees what? You're walking in faith. We're acting in faith. Are you with me? And we're trusting God. So I ask you this. Who sees it first? Hallelujah. God. God saw that the second you put that there. Other people don't say. He's looking down and saying, oh, they're acting in faith down there. They think I'm going to bring that many people? You betcha. I said, we had a bigger table. I would have told Deacon Chuck to fill the table with trays. Amen? Because I've got a big God, and I'm praying for a big God. I'm praying for miracles for God. And so God is the first one. He's the first one, Cindy, that sees when we're doing that. And now listen, as you grow in God, as you grow, God knows. He knows now he can trust us with more people, see? He knows that he can trust you when you're in your life. And then if he knows he can trust you, he will, Bill, lead people to you. He will. If he knows he can trust you, then he said, oh, I got Bill Kohler. I'm going to lead more people to Bill because I can trust him. He's going to bring people to God. He's going to bring people to me because he's walking in faith. Amen? Hallelujah. And will he bring people to church? Will God bring people to church? Yes. Well, I would tell you, yes. But God doesn't bring the people to church. You bring the people to church. It's you first. How many people are here because somebody else told you about the church? Or you heard about it from somebody else? You didn't just drive by the church one day and say, I'm going there. No. You see, our faith. We stood in faith. And the lines of the car start back. And other people coming. And friends are coming. And bringing their family members. And they're saying, well, I don't care how far it is. That's where I want to be. I'm learning things about Jesus there. You see? So we're walking in faith. And God is looking down. And we're bringing people. To who? God. We can lead others to church and God. That's why I say this, Pat. We must be one here. We must be so united here that anything of any kind of a disturbance, we need to fix it because it's not important. Amen? If one disagrees with another, it doesn't matter. I know Fred's a Red Sox fan. It don't matter to me because he's here loving God. Amen? If something doesn't go my way, it doesn't matter as long as God is praised. Are you with me? We need this church. We need to be one because as we're believing and those people start coming, they're going to look around at every one of us. Are they praising God? Or are they having a good time? Is maybe this a place I need to be to get fed? Amen? This is for you, for me. Walking in faith, acting in faith, and preaching his word. And I say faith not by my words, faith by our works. We have come here. We have come to this day, November the 8th. Right here. We've got here. There's so much more. So much more. Say that with me. So much more. David, this is just the beginning. We're happy about seeing people, but we need to know, Chuck, this is the beginning. Amen? There's more that we can do. Are you with me? Now, anointing. I'm going to explain what anointing is. It's a fancy word. It simply means God gives anointing. God gives you an ability to do something with ease, something inside, without it being a struggle. That's an anointing. When you got an anointing, something that you're doing is what's in here. Your heart has led you. I mean, not your head. You say, well, I'd like to do that. No, it's an anointing here. It's a need. Elder Pat has an anointing. She has the need to tell other people about God, to bring other people to God, to pray for God. That's why she is so important to me in this church as your pastor. She is where I go to get fed. She is where I go to get prayer, knowing that her prayer is pure. Amen. And if I'm out of the Word of God, she's going to call me and say, Larry, I don't think that was quite right. And I trust her to do that. Amen. But you see, anointing is important. Ordained means to be called. Somebody is ordained. An ordained, he was called. The prophets were called. The Bible talks about all the prophets. And what was their one job? The prophets in all the Old Testament, their only job was to bring people to church. Bring them to Jesus, amen? And his kingdom. A teacher, a rescuer. All about God. All about who? Now there's idolatry. You know what idolatry is? And I'll tell you, you can talk about all the sins, but idolatry is simply anything. What word? Anything. Say that with me. Idolatry is anything that gets you to take your eyes off of God. Anything that pulls you away from the Word of God. Anything that you take and becomes as important, more important, or the focus of your life becomes that. That's idolatry. Amen? Anything against the Word. Idol worship, man or things or other gods. Hallelujah. Now, anybody ever heard about Baal and Baal worshiping? Baal was the devil, and you heard about that. And Fred, you'll tell the truth. I'm telling you the truth. How many things you think stuff over in Syria is pretty bad right now? And those people, they're executing people, and they're taking people's heads off. I don't mean to believe, but they're doing that. Amen? And we're saying, oh my God, I ask you to go in the Old Testament and read about Baal worshiping and the things that they did. The atrocities that they did were so evil that you would just it takes your breath away. What these people are doing are just kindergarten stuff compared to Baal worshipers. Amen? But it's still the devil's work that they're doing. It's still evil in the eyes of the Lord and evil to us. And that's called idolatry. So any other belief. Any other belief. And I say this with you because I want us to be right. Any part of another belief. Bits and pieces of another belief other than God. Amen? Is idolatry. And I say this to you. Some choose to be ministers. How many know that? Do you see people on TV and they call themselves ministers? Yet they never talk much about Jesus. They talk about things. They talk about what they want. And they choose to be a minister because there's money in it. Amen? They got a television show. They got a new airplane. They got new cars. They live in a big giant house. And they understand that there's... So they chose this profession. It's like a politician or anything else. They chose to be that. They were never called to be that. They weren't ordained to be that. And we have to be honest. To be a minister, to be called a minister, this is what you need to do. You need to lift up other people. Amen? That's what a minister does. He serves other people. I tell you this right now. Brenda and Roger aren't here today, and I miss them. Amen? Gary and Marcia are in New Hampshire, and I miss them. My heart, I'm happy for them, but I miss them here. Amen? Because I love them. I love them. I love our family. To give compassion, to love freely given, always with the Word of God. Never, say that with me, never for self. Not for me, for self-gain, but we do see that. Amen? We have to be honest. Amen? We see people getting self-gain over the ministry. To be made something, separate, higher, show authority, make new rules. Hallelujah. Simply to keep the church and the people to grow. That's my job. In faith and in power. How many want power? Preaching his word. Listen, I don't care how many times every week I talk about the same thing. I'm preaching God's word, and I'll do it over and over again until it gets in here. My brother Greg said to me the other night, I said, I'm reaching him. I don't know what words I said, but see, his heart, I just kept going and going and going with God, and eventually it got in his heart. See, it changes. Amen? That's where I'm with you. I don't care how many times I say it each week until you hear it and you believe it and you feel it. Then we're on the right track. Amen? Hallelujah. Preach his word over and over until it enters people's hearts. The ministry, we're separate from the business. How many know that? That's one of the problems in churches. We are separate from the business of the church. Amen. The color of the cushions, the color of the wall. The Boy Scouts painted a beautiful blue in the bathroom. Amen. I don't care if they painted it with polka dots. It's got nothing to do with the ministry of the church. Amen. I understand it. See, the ministry, I'm separate from that. And the business and all the things, the colors of the cushions. I think the cushions are beautiful. I would have think they were beautiful if they were purple, but they are beautiful to me. Amen? That's the business of the church. I don't care about the finances of the church because I think that's an evil. And I'm giving my opinion now, but I think when the people in charge of the church know how much is in the bank of the church, all of a sudden it's like other people. It ain't my money. I'll spend it. Amen? I don't need to know. I know that the church, and I know that God says never to hoard. Whatever you have, we need to use it for God. Amen? But we need to do it with wisdom. So when if I have a suggestion or an idea, I give it to the committee. But here's the difference now with the ministry. And the things of the ministry, and in Maryland, I don't mean to shine on you, but you have a double-edged sword. You do. Because Maryland does the bulletin each week. Amen? So she does the bulletin, which is the business of the church. But in the bulletin, she does the ministry of the church. Because she's putting things in there about who? So she did something a couple of weeks ago that made me so humble and so proud. She said, Larry, Pastor Larry, I want to put this in the bulletin. Is this okay? She didn't ask me in a way that I had to give her permission. She asked me in the minister side of what she does. Is it okay to put this in? And you see, that's what should happen. Anytime there's anything to do with God or the ministry, somebody should come to me because I'm the one that's going to get judged by him. Amen. You need to give me that. And I'm not saying as a power thing, but I want to make sure that we're not putting things in that are against his word. If we're putting something in for you to learn and read, then learn and read it. But don't accept it as it's from God. Amen. Because I have to stay focused on the word for you and for me. Hallelujah. And that's the difference, see? That's God's rule. That's what the prophets, that's what they all did. All the kings, amen? There were all kings in that time. And Elijah and Elisha were prophets. From who? And they went to the king. Remember Nebuchadnezzar, King Nebuchadnezzar? He ran his country the way he saw fit. But when something happened, where did he go? He went to Daniel. Amen? He went back to the prophet of who? That's why the ministry of the church needs to stay with the calling of the church. That just simple. Amen? Whatever the Boy Scouts do in this church is not my business. Amen? In that sense. You know what I'm saying, David? That's not my concern. My concern is that the church remain focused on God and the ministry remain true. Amen? And that we do things according to the word. That's the prophet's job, the teacher's job. And that's the difference. And I say again, Marilyn's got a two-edged sword because she's business, and then she's part of the ministry. Whatever she puts in that bulletin goes to your home, amen, about God. Can I take one more minute or two or three? Everybody all right? You're awful quiet today. I'm having a good things. And I'll tell you what, this is a medicine for me, truly a medicine for me to be here today. My brother said to me, and I understood this, I'll share this with you if it's okay. He said, Larry, I would be at your church every Sunday. I'm very proud of what you've done and where you are. Now, my niece goes to another church, and my sister-in-law sometimes goes and brings food to that church. And he just looked at me and said, I would be here every Sunday, but you understand. And I understood, amen, that he had to be with his daughter. But I just want you to know that this is so real. So real to all of us. It changed his life to know what I did. And I want it to change your life. I want you to be stronger tomorrow. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. What does it profit, my brethren, if somebody says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? Let me tell you, we all say we're saved by faith, but let me say, intellectual assent to a creed is not faith. Let me read that again. Intellectual assent, you agree to a creed, it's not faith. Amen? It's not faith. Faith transforms our conduct and our words. Can I get an amen? Faith creates works. We are saved by faith, believing. We show our faith by what we do. Acting in faith. Giving thanks for the answer, and this is the hard one, but the greatest one for the greatest reward. Acting in faith is giving thanks for the answer, acting on that answer before it is answered. Once it is answered, there is no need for faith. When we're using every one of those trays, we will no longer have faith that we need those trays. They will be needed. Amen? So when we put those trays out and we put the food and we put the bread, we're saying, Lord, we're believing now. We're seeing later. We're putting faith in you. And we're locking God to look down and say, look what they're doing at Second Congregational. They're putting out enough to feed 100 people. They don't have 100 people. God's saying, maybe I better honor that. Amen? And when the people come and I look at Chuck and I say we're almost running out, then we won't have to worry about how much faith we used for that. We're going to say, look at God. We're going to need a bigger table. We're going to need more trays. Amen? That's faith. Hallelujah. And again, I'll say to you, intellectual assent to a creed is not faith. Let me tell you about the devil. He knows the Word of God better than any of us. Amen? But he didn't believe. Did it save him to know the Word of God? The demons all know who Jesus is. Remember in the Old Testament, the demons knew who he was right away. Did it save him that they knew him? No. Why? They didn't believe him. They didn't have faith in him. Amen? They knew of him. They knew he existed. They saw him. But they did not have faith. So just knowing him and just going somewhere where they preach and talk about it is not faith. Amen? Faith is you saying, Lord, come into my heart. Faith is you saying, thank you, Jesus, for what you did for me. I'm going to believe. I'm going to work at believing. Works is acting on that faith. And I will close with this. Thank you, Lord. I want to read one more. This is so powerful. Can faith, if a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say to them, depart in peace, be warm and filled, but you do not give them things which they are needed for the body, what does it profit? Thus also, faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. And listen to what James says. You believe that there is one God. You do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? And now listen, he says, was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? Do you see that faith was working together with his works and by works? Four words, church, four words. I want you to remember these four words. Do you see that faith was working together with his works, and by works, faith was made perfect? Anybody in here perfect? Who's perfect? So your faith in God makes it what? Perfect. Faith was made perfect. We have power from who? We have his word. I will tell you this morning. I will urge you this morning. I will pray for you this morning to be strong in faith. Together. Say that word with me. Together. Let's put God's power into this church, into your lives. Let's put it in, and we're doing it right here. We're showing God we have faith. This is our act of faith, amen? We've got the cushions. We showed God that this is his house. This is, we are the bride. We're painted the church. We've got the yard looking beautiful. Now I'm saying we need to show in minister speak this, our faith, that God will bring the people to Second Congregational, not because I'm special or you're special, but because we preach the word and he wants perfect, amen? Our faith will become perfect in him. So I pray that we take that power this week. Start living that power. Start walking in faith. Start acting in faith. Start doing things that would show faith. Whatever it is you're going through, stand and walk in that faith so God will have your back. Amen? And he will make a way. Give him praise and glory. That's your God for you and for me. Thank you, Jesus. Whew. Whew. Are you stronger? I am. I just love talking about God. When you go to restaurant later, say God bless you to the waitress. When you go to Stop and Shop, say God bless you to the lady behind the register. Amen. You got something in your heart you think that you need to see, you got more in your life than you do, then build a resume. Put it out there. You got a thing in your heart, do something. Act in faith with it. Amen. Just like we have done right now at Second Congregational. That is faith. Give God praise and glory. Come on, one more time. Faith. Faith moves mountains, amen? God answers faith. God sees faith. We're on a roll. Amen. I will tell you this, brothers and sisters. God never forgets your prayers. Jesus doesn't forget. You might forget. You might grow tired. You might grow weak. He said, I cannot deny myself. He said, he will hear your prayers. He will answer your prayers. He asks that we simply do this in remembrance of him. So I ask you this morning to ask him to forgive you for your iniquities today. Ask you to forgive you for the thoughts you had, the things you said, or the things you done this week that you know were not in the word of God, and how we failed, and whatever it was that you did, Lord, that he saw. Ask him to cleanse you so that you can receive this blessing. This blessing today, as he took the bread and blessed and broke it, saying, this is my body being torn for you. And he said to eat and do this in remembrance of him. In Jesus' name. All right, there, Deacon. Thank you, Lord. He does not forget you. He does not forget your prayers. He does not forget your needs. He knows how to comfort. He knows how to lift. When your mind is calm, your body heals. When you're at peace, your body heals. Miracles happen when you trust and lean, and not on your own understanding. He hears your prayers. Each and every one of you, he hears you. He knows you. He knows your voice. Your voice. And he doesn't forget. He doesn't forget. The full benefit of God. The full benefit of God. That's what we're wanting. Everything that you're praying for, you walk in faith and let God do the work. Stand in faith. Give all the love you have, all the compassion. Lift up. Never tear down. If you're trying to heal a relationship or you're trying to do, never tear down, but lift up. There's always something you can lift up. Hallelujah. Be strong. The devil's going to make you worry. He's going to make you depressed. He's going to make you all sorts of things against the will of God. And then you have to heal from that. Don't let it get there. Trust in faith. See a vision. See what you want to do next month, next week. See that vision and walk towards it, claiming that vision. Man says one thing, God says another, but you're acting with God. You're walking with God in faith. I'm going to do that next month. I'm going to do that next week. I don't know how right now, it doesn't seem possible, but next week, I'm going to do that. Praise the Lord. In faith. In faith. I know where my brother is this morning. He's in our church. I know he's here. I know that. His presence, because he's with me in my heart. Jesus said that we need to do this in remembrance of him, but because without this, all else would be empty. So in Jesus' name, we remember. Holding on to a burden of something you did yesterday after you've asked for forgiveness, God is asking you one question. Why? The full benefit of God is believing the word of God. Amen? He took and wine, poured it into a cup, saying, this is my blood being shed for you for the remission of your sins. Do this in remembrance of him. The full benefits of God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Please be careful with the wine this morning. Please. You have a power outlet you have not plugged into enough. You have a power outlet. You need to open up and let all that power surge into you. Receive the full benefits. If you believe God has blessed you once or twice, or He blessed you this morning, I tell you then to receive the full blessings of God in your life. You will make this church great. Not your pastor. You will make this church great. You will come here and say, I don't know how I did it. I don't know how it happened. But I give God the glory. I don't know how I became stronger. I don't know how I made it through, but God will get the glory. He will change your life. My job is to continue to feed you His word. Faith made perfect. Faith made perfect. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for these people. We need to have faith. Thank you, Lord. Two handsome men walking right down the center of the aisle. Two men of God. Two people who lift each other up. Thank you, Lord. He shed His blood for the remission of your sins. Accept and believe in Jesus' name this morning. This is where I needed to be today. Give God praise and glory.